You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how men and women in midlife can achieve not only the body, but the lifestyle they deserve. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome. Welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. And I am Gloria Grace Rand, your host, and I am delighted to have not one, but two guests on the podcast today. I would love to welcome Claire and James Davis coming to us all the way from Spain.
Hello there. How are you?
Thank you for having us.
Well, we are glad to have you. And let me just tell our audience and those of you who are watching this on YouTube as well, who this lovely couple is and why I have them on the show today. So Claire and James Davis are the husband and wife team behind the multi-award-winning coaching and fitness company called 38 Degrees North. They are also podcasters as well. They've got a successful midlife health podcast called The Midlife Mentors. And their passion is helping folks in midlife achieve not only the body, but the lifestyle they deserve. And they've got an 8-week program that they offer folks, and they use a science-based approach, leveraging their backgrounds in psychology, coaching, and NLP to empower individuals with the tools and knowledge they need to make positive changes in their lives. And they've been featured in lots of publications and you know, regularly run workshops and all sorts of things. So if you haven't heard of them by now, you're hearing about them now. So I'm glad of that. And I know we're going to talk about specifically today about actually how to deal with menopause for women and andropause for men. But I thought we'd get started actually with talking a little bit about how the two of you wound up actually in business together and have been doing this coaching and fitness stuff. So how did that all start?
Well, how long have you got, Gloria?
Interesting.
We can tell you the short version. So we both worked in corporate careers in London doing things. I'd start as a lifestyle journalist and then get more involved in that content strategy side of businesses and work for big media organizations. Claire started her career in PR, in fashion PR. I think it's safe to say she didn't enjoy that.
Did not enjoy that.
We didn't know each other at that time, but in 2011, I left my career in London to move to a little island in the Mediterranean called Ibiza. With the concept of running fitness holidays, essentially. Ibiza's famously known for its clubbing and its hedonistic lifestyle, which I'd experienced when I was younger. But it's also a very beautiful island, and health and fitness has always been a part of my life. So I wanted to basically bring people there and give them a great experience, educate them, give them the tools to help transform and change their lives. While I was there, I was married. That marriage broke up. I met Claire over there, independently of marriage breakups, I should hasten to add.
Yes, we always try and add that.
So we were friends. And then the curious thing was, we found out that both of our marriages broke up at pretty much the same time. Claire was back in England and I was in Ibiza. Then we had about a year of toing and froing, didn't we?
I wasn't very helpful, was I? He always likes to tell everyone that I study Mark. Because he does still like to play the guild card.
And then we got together.
Yeah.
And haven't looked back. I mean, she's my inspiration. Mm. She's, you know, really helped take us to the next level. And how we got to doing what we do now with midlife was basically, you know, the background of doing the fitness holidays. Obviously, we're lucky to work with thousands of clients over that time. So you get to see similar kind of themes repeating, particularly in like certain age groups. And obviously, the impetus came from us. I'm 49 right now. I'm sure Claire.
How old am I, James?
41.
No, I'm 42. I actually can't.
Year off for you.
Good that you erred on the side of younger. Nice.
Yeah, always err on the side of younger.
He does this every single time. I think being 49 now, it's clearly you got some brain fog there, James. You're going to talk about the menopause brain fog, aren't you?
I am going to talk about brain fog later. But we obviously love what we do. We started investigating more and more, you know, what's happening at midlife, you know, what the hormonal changes. Because obviously we're very conscious of like the physical changes going on, you know, for both men and women. We're aware of these things happening. But what's driving that? And the answer is a lot of it's driven by our hormones. That has a knock-on effect, like that has a mental and emotional effect as well as physical. And of course, when you put all those together, there can be a whole like psychological effect as well. And we kind of got friends who were like, oh, well, you know, I've hit this age, this is just it now, it's the inevitable decline, I've just got to put up with like no energy and expanding waistline. And we're like, hey, no. So we just dove into it even harder, tested out loads of the science and research on ourselves, started podcasting about it.
Well, that was the first dip into the Midlife Mentors, really, was the podcast. So that was at the beginning of 2019, and that was really exciting because that's just James and I really, really passionate, putting stuff out there with no agenda and just going out there and having a bit of banter, like we will here and already are, but obviously giving people a real holistic approach to midlife health and happiness, so touching on all elements. You know, my background, I was never into fitness really at all. I had a really bad relationship with my body, really bad relationship with food growing up. Then I went through divorce. And the reason I got into doing this after my career in PR was because I was put on antidepressants. And I'm not against them, they save lives. They're really, really crucial to helping people get through some really challenging times. But what I felt like I didn't want to be on them for the rest of my life. I was very aware that I didn't want to be on them for the rest of my life. And, you know, my weight ballooned. I actually felt very disconnected from my spiritual self. So I decided to find other ways that might help me reduce my dosage and come off. So I ended up getting into the nutrition, getting into the fitness, understanding the science. And once I was hooked, I was like, I've got to qualify in this and help other people really feel powerful in themselves and regain control. When everything else is going out of control and is crazy around you, one of the often the only thing that you can control is your health, whether it's, you know, in all areas, your fitness, your nutrition, your spiritual health, your mental health, and gaining control back over that does start to help heal those things that have gone on in your life. So I wasn't into it. I then got into it just after I met James and then moved over to Ibiza very quickly to join him. And yeah, that's how I moved over to Ibiza. I made a big, bold move to live my life over in Ibiza. And, you know, it wasn't without its challenges, but, you know, we, like James says, we haven't looked back. And we're just really excited to do what we do because our values are so aligned with what we want to share with the world. So.
That's awesome. What do you like best about actually, in particular, working with, you know, this age group, you know, the people in midlife?
I think, yeah, the thing is, it's you enjoy working with people that are relatable. You can relate to them, you can relate to us. You know, a lot of our clients are still in that corporate world or entrepreneurs, and they've got all these pressures and stresses. And what we always talk about is when we're growing up, when we're younger, we have this kind of vision of midlife that, oh, by the time I'm in my late 40s, my 50s, life's going to be amazing. Everything will be sorted. You know, I'll have no worries. I'll top of the world, top of my game. Actually, what happens is there's all these crazy pressures. You know, we're trying to juggle careers, finances, family, you know, aging parents, raising children, and the whole melting pot of stress can just be really tough for people to deal with. So understanding that, coming from that place and just showing people that it's not the time to give up, but actually it's about embracing the second act with real joy and redefining what you want from life, but who you want to be to get that from life as well.
I think it's so true. You know, we see so often that it's an identity crisis. You know, we always say about the midlife crisis and we laugh, and it's been put a really negative spin on it, you know. But actually, it's an identity crisis where, you know, we look at all the things, our status, our the things that we've gathered around us, our material possessions, all those sorts of things, all the things that we worked for so hard. And we've got all this stuff and we've got this identity and the status and everything. But it's honestly, I think it's at midlife where you start to think, actually, who am I? Am I feeling fulfilled? Am I connected to my true self? Like, where am I going with this? Do I want more? Do I want to understand myself more? So it's a beautiful thing, and everything is interlinked. Like how in that journey, it's your hormones, it's your nutrition, it's your movement, it's your mindset, it's your spiritual connection, it's everything. And the beauty of what we do is touch on all those parts. So it's a complete inside out transformation.
That's awesome. Now, I know one of the things that happens, of course, in midlife is that we go through, our bodies actually go through this physical change, and thankfully I'm well past that now. You talk about let me ask you this first. Actually, what is a commonly held belief about like menopause and andropause that you passionately disagree with?
From women, that there's something wrong with me, I'm not doing things properly, or that it's really, really hard and it's just going to be really, really hard and there's not much I can do about that. I'm just going to have to suck it up and potentially go on HRT, potentially go on antidepressants, and then that's it, that's my lot. Because that is, sadly, there is quite a lot. I mean, we see it because we're in this field. We see quite a lot of negativity where it goes from being, you know, inclusive and sharing and supportive of other women to actually just kind of going really, really negative around it. And there are so many things that you can do and should start doing in your late 30s and your early 40s to start helping and supporting, and lifestyle modifications that can support you as you move through perimenopause and menopause.
Go ahead, James. Do you mind to add to that?
I was going to say on the men's side, kind of echoing that. Also for the men, the myth I'll dispel is that the male menopause is a myth, because you know it's a hormonal change going on in your body. So you are very likely to be affected by it at some point between your 40s and 60s.
Mm. What does that look like in men? Because I'm curious.
Even though
I'm married and I've probably seen it in my husband, but I would like to maybe have confirmation of it because we've never talked about it.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. A lot of the work we do is actually about educating men and women about what's going on for both of them. Because what we observe, you know, in a relationship, obviously a lot of things can get thrown up by men, female menopause and male menopause. And often if partners aren't open and talk about it, it can actually distance them. For men, what the key thing that's happening is that our primary sex hormone is testosterone. That peaks in our 20s and it's declining at between 1-2% per year from then on, which doesn't sound a lot, but the cumulative effect of that means by the time we're in our 50s, we could be like 30-50% lower. Now, testosterone obviously plays a role in like our new muscle tissue, our strength, our energy, our mood, our libido. And remember, for men, a lot of their identity is wrapped up in their libido, strength, all these kind of things. They can start to fail. So this is going to lead for men to have a loss of confidence, and they might even overcompensate in other ways, which is where, you know, the ridiculous stereotype of the midlife crisis, you know, the guy goes out, open-top sports car, 20-year-old girlfriend. Yeah, that's what we see is classic overcompensating. But testosterone also plays a role, you know, in brain function and cognitive function. So men can experience too this kind of like brain fog. And if you combine all those things together, you know, you feel like your body and your mind is starting to let you down a bit, which of course is going to undermine your confidence and have a knock-on effect to your psychology.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I can, and looking back, I definitely have like seen issues of that, you know, in the past and watching him. So, but you talk about that there is a way to navigate both of these things with joy. So how can men and women do that?
So we actually, operate on the six pillars. So we've got six pillars of midlife health and happiness. And I think those six pillars, and they're all interlinked. I keep saying this, you know, we're holistic beings. So everything impacts. As we take people through an educational process and take people through our program, it really becomes clear how everything starts to interlink with each other, you know, from gut health to how we're feeling, obviously, to moving our body, to our hormones, to, you know, our sex life, our relationships, all sorts of things. So those six pillars are obviously midlife movement, midlife nutrition, midlife hormones, midlife success mindset, midlife emotional well-being, and then mentoring. Because a lot of us, again, don't necessarily have the right network or the right support and the right accountability as we're moving through this incredibly tumultuous time in our life, basically. So, I mean, we could go into all of those pillars. It's quite a lengthy conversation, but those six elements, we would say, really create that kind of self-awareness. Because a lot of the time when we're in this period of our life, there's so much going on. Like James said, we can get so confused and so stuck in the mud, and we don't understand that our belief systems, for example, are what mostly is holding us back. We always say it's 80% mindset, 20% mechanics. You know, our self-identity, our habits, all these things are holding us back, but we're not even aware. By this time, we're just stuck in that loop constantly. But being able to be the observer, which we always say, being the observer and actually start to unravel what some of these things are, you know, the inner critic, the imposter syndrome, the self-saboteur, all these things, you can start actually having awareness, and awareness precedes change. You can't change what you're not aware of. That's half the battle, and having that support.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I'll add to that, like, obviously there are differences in the approach for men and women because we're looking for slightly different hormonal responses. But broadly speaking, you know, for both men and women, you need to start moving your body more and move it in specific ways. You want to basically be holding on to your muscle mass as long as you can, because it's declining, which means you're losing strength. It means your metabolic rate is slowing down. So, you know, it's crucial your resistance training, right? It could be body weight at home, could be simple equipment, it could be the gym. You want to do some high intensity interval training to keep your cardio up and help maintain your body fat levels lower. You want to clean up your diet, eliminate as much sugars as you can from your diet, because it's highly inflammatory, highly calorific.
Which means alcohol as well, sadly.
Become less alcohol tolerant as we age, true story. Mm-hmm. And just clean up your diet, go for more whole foods, just be more conscious of what you're eating. Of course, that's like what we call the external work. And a lot of people just go wrong just focusing on that. But like Claire was alluding to there, they don't change their belief system. So what we want to do is, you know, look at actually where do we want to go with this next chapter of our lives? What's the identity we want to move to? And what are the beliefs that are going to underpin that? Start to actually model and live those as well. So that then you're not trying to make, you know, it's not like going on a diet and I've got a result. It's like I'm making a lifestyle change, and this is actually my new way of being.
And also, lots of people don't really understand. They understand stress from a mindset perspective. But again, they don't know what's really going on, the cocktail of hormones that's going on. And actually starting, we think, oh, you know, stress, it's just this thing. But it's become normalized, you know. And there's this base level hum of stress constantly. By the time we've hit midlife, that's actually really negatively impacting our health and happiness. So again, it's about making sure that people understand some strategies around stress management. So I'm a stress management consultant. And then we bring a lot in of psychology, you know, NLP, all that sort of stuff to start rewiring the brain of it. Because, you know, we're massive geeks. You know, you mentioned there was about the science approach. We're massive geeks. So making sure that we can back up what we're doing based on science, neuroscience as well, is really important to us.
I want to ask you, because just in remembering my own experience with it, menopause, it really wasn't as bad as I, you know, heard, like, that it could have been. And I mean, yes, I had like night sweats, but I didn't have, you know, these horrible, you know, really, you know, hot flashes too much. And it wasn't, you know, horrible. And okay, my mood might have been a little wonky from time to time, you know, but hey, I think it was that way anyway. But I think one of the things that helped me, and I think I was active, I think I was walking regularly, at least I was doing that. But I believe I was also meditating a lot at the time. Have you found that is useful?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, hugely. I mean, for me, I've definitely, I'm 42, but I was definitely experiencing, I was having night sweats years ago with, I think, fluctuation of hormones. But, you know, I definitely experienced a change in my mood. I had erratic heartbeat. I had tightness of chest. I had high and low anxiety levels that I hadn't had before, actually. Not since I'd been, you know, put on the antidepressants all those years ago and came off them really fast. I'm a massive, which we both are, a massive fan of meditation, but I'm also a huge fan now. Something that I've incorporated into my world is breath work. Like the Wim Hof method, particularly, that's really helped. But yes, huge fans of that because, again, it brings the central nervous system down and you're able to create space. And we know what fear, anxiety, overwhelm, depression, you know, we know physically what that does to our body. It does cause inflammation in our body. It does cause inflammation in our gut. So, of course, your menopause symptoms are going to be aggravated if you're highly stressed, if you haven't got good gut health, but all these things are interlinked.
Yeah. What would you say to someone that maybe is like maybe the first thing that they need to start to really address, you know, to start helping, let's say they're maybe just starting to you know, move into this change. So what would be the first thing that they should look at?
I would say there's lots of things you should
right.
be doing, but the two crucial things are, you know, if you're not already, start moving your body. You know, the human body is an amazing thing, but it really is, you know, use it or lose it. And yeah, thankfully to modern medicine and science, you know, we're all living longer, hopefully. But it's about the quality of life as well. You know, what you don't want to be is that, you know, that old person stuck in a chair and you can't get out. So it's about, you know, using those muscles, keeping fit, you know, preserving your muscle mass, keeping your metabolic rate up. So get up and start moving. And it can just be the smallest steps. You know, if you're not used to it, just start going for short walks, just gradually increase it over time, stuff like that. But in tandem with it, you've got to do the nutrition side as well. Most of us have, through no fault of our own, really bad dietary habits. You know, we're not taught this stuff in school. The food industry pushes a load of really bad stuff at us. Start educating yourself about food, particularly around labeling on food, and look for the biggest culprit by far, I think, you know, across the US and Western Europe is sugar in food and hidden sugar in particular. Manufacturers push it in because it's really cheap. It's hyper addictive. Once you start eating it, you want more of it. It's a win for them. You buy more of their product, but it's not only highly calorific, which we all know the effects of, you know, of like carrying too much weight, but it's also highly inflammatory to the system. And in fact, you know, studies have shown that just with menopausal women, reducing their sugar intake actually reduces symptoms, reducing the inflammation rate in the body. So I'd say clean up your diet and start moving your body and do some mindset work as well. Even if that's like a small gratitude practice first thing in the morning. What am I grateful for from yesterday? What would be my intention for today? Something that simple, that basic, will start noticing the difference over time.
Yeah, I would just say on the sugar thing, you know, I've seen a lot in, like James saying about menopausal women and reducing the sugar. It's not just the cakes. We need to understand it's carbohydrates. That's what it says, carbohydrates, of which sugars. So high glycemic index carbohydrates, high GI carbs, you want to be reducing those as well, because that, again, it's sugar. So again, most people think, oh, it's just my alcohol or it's just my cakes that I'm eating. It's actually not. It's carbohydrates as well. And we're not saying cut them, eliminate them altogether. We're not keto. We're not anything like that. Everything in balance and moderation, but understanding when to eat them and the right types is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually just saw somebody posted a picture on Facebook yesterday, as a matter of fact, where they were comparing like name brand spaghetti sauces and the amount of sugar that are in some of these commercial brand spaghetti sauce. You know, it's like, I remember when my mom made spaghetti sauce, she would add like maybe, you know, a tablespoon or something, you know, but they're putting in like about a quarter of a cup, I think. It's crazy.
Okay, I wonder if we're geeks. I've got a really interesting bit of research for you. South America now has this issue as well. And researchers in Brazil were looking exactly at sugar in foods. And that this is like such a paradoxical finding of their study. They found having a bag of sugar in the kitchen was a positive indicator for health. because it meant that family was making their sauces and their food from scratch, adding a little bit of sugar. Where there was no sugar, bag of sugar in the kitchen, they were buying these sauces, which are, you know, multiples amounts of sugar in as you would put in yourself. So really good point there.
Interesting. Wow. Tell me a little bit about this program that you have. So if you know how, if someone wanted to find out about that, what is involved in your Midlife Method program?
Well, it's an 8-week program. And as I alluded to, it's got the 6 pillars. So we're touching on mind, body, and soul. And you know, it's for anyone looking to make a change in their life. So it's not just about the physicality side, it's not just about the nutrition side, it's actually about the whole being. So that's really, really important. People come out of it saying that their relationship with food has improved, and that obviously they feel more comfortable in their own skin. Because again, we always say, you know, health isn't a dress size, it's about how comfortable you feel in your own self. But they come out of it thinking, you know, I'm more grateful, I'm more positive, my relationship's better. So all these things. So it's really an inside out job, but it's on those 6 pillars, which I'll just confirm again. It's midlife movement, midlife nutrition, midlife hormones, midlife success mindset, midlife emotional well-being, and midlife mentorship as well. So it's the whole package, basically. And it's for men and women. And we've had everyone from, you know, their 40s all the way up into their late 60s, even into their early 70s, actually, strangely enough. So it's a beautiful thing. And we're very grateful that we get to do it.
I think it's really important to say as well, when we set out to design this, we know midlifers, as we alluded to earlier, are really like time poor. So we looked at the best ways people can get the results. So it's delivered basically in an app experience. The workouts are designed, they're bespoke. We onboard everyone with their own workout programs. Obviously, at midlife, people have different issues, complications. They're designed to be short but effective. So you're not spending hours in the gym, you know, on treadmills, none of that stuff. They're short workouts. And then all the coaching elements, like nutritional coaching, the habits, the beliefs, it just drips out through the app. So it comes instinctive. You're not having to like go, oh, I've got to sit down and do 2 hours work on it tonight. It just flows.
It's like we're 2 coaches in your pocket, which is a good or a bad thing sometimes. Oh, I fed up with
Well, I can tell that you two complement each other very well. So I'm sure they're getting the best of both worlds by having the two of you on there. Is there anything else that I should have asked you about, you know, whether, you know, menopause in particular, or just, you know, getting through this midlife and being able to have a wonderful, you know, to grow old wonderfully and to not, as my, you know, I remember my father-in-law always would say, oh, don't get old, Gloria. You don't want to get old. I'm like, yes, I do. I want to live a long time. I want to be over 100. So is there anything else that you'd want to share?
I would say, don't be afraid to go outside your comfort zone. You know, we get stuck in our ruts with all, like we were saying, like all there are things behind us, and it becomes very, very difficult to want to take a risk. And when we say risk, we mean calculated risk, not crazy risk, because again, we've got things in our life that we need to take care of. But don't be afraid to step outside your comfort zone, because that's where the goodies of life are. That's where, you know, we are expansive beings. We are designed as human beings to experience the truth of who we are. You know, we're designed to get that feeling and that sense of joy. And that only happens when we start moving outside our comfort zone and get little hints of, oh, yeah, that's the right path. Oh, yeah, that's the right path. And otherwise, we just end up being apathetic and bored, and we lose the zest for life. So that's one of the things. We actually take people through a whole thing about taking risks and going outside your comfort zone. And most people get the fear, but actually that's a signpost that you're about to expand into a newer version and a better version of yourself. Is when you feel that fear, go, okay, I know there's a little devil on my shoulder saying, oh no, don't do that, you'll make a fool of yourself, on all of those things. But actually just saying, no, I'm here. There's absolutely no reason I can't do this. I have expected you to come in and say all those sorts of things, but I know you're there because actually it shows I'm moving in the right direction. I'm gonna expand and grow. I'm gonna feel more myself. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I would kind of echo that. I would agree with all that completely. There's a saying, which I'm gonna paraphrase. It's like, you know, you're not too old to dance. You got old because you stopped dancing. You know, stay curious and remember that life is about having fun. And this, again, is backed up by neuroscience. You know, our brains, the aging of our brains is effectively that our brains are shrinking as we grow older. One of the things that can offset that is learning new skills and socializing. So we want to keep our minds active, have hobbies, have interests.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And I think if we continue to do more of that, we can live to be, you know, live more fully and to be healthier and to enjoy life, because that's why we're here. I mean, we only get one life that we know of for now. You know, we can debate that. We can talk about reincarnation some other time, but for now, this is our life right now. And so let's make the most of it. And that's
exactly. We always say it's not a dress rehearsal. It's not a dress rehearsal. No one's going to be, let's put aside what people really think about you. Stop letting everyone overstep your boundaries. Go out there. And actually the only thing that really matters is not going to be the things that when you're at the end of the life, it's how much you've enjoyed it, the legacy you're leaving, like who you've become. It's not what you've got, it's who you've become along the journey of life. So it's not a dress rehearsal.
Absolutely. Yep. I love it. If someone listening to you today wants to be able to, you know, find out more information, maybe they want to, you know, see about taking your course or just to learn more about you, what's the best place for people to contact you?
So we have our website, which is all one word, themidlifementors.com. You can drop an email there, team@themidlifementors.com. On Facebook, we're /themidlifementors. On Instagram, we're /midlifementors.
@midlifementors.
With no the.
There's no slash in Instagram. You can tell who does Instagram, can't you? Bless you. It's @midlifementors. Gotta love you. That's so cute.
It's all good. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your evening, I guess, I think, right, in Spain, and for being with us on the show today. I really appreciate you sharing this information, because we have not had this subject on yet. So I'm glad that you were the first ones to talk about it. And I know people will benefit a lot from what you shared today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us all.
And thank you for listening and for watching. And I hope you did get some value. If you do, I'd love for you to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or Podchaser as well. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and today and, you know, tomorrow, the next day, and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.